What's up, guys? This is Justin Coffin for the 330 Sports Show. Today is Thursday, October 14th, 2021. We are a Youngstown studio production. Please make sure to follow us at 330 Sports Show on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Make sure to give Youngstown Studio a like or a follow. We like to put our broadcasts out there on Facebook, on YouTube, and on Twitter. You can also listen to any of our shows. Over 600 shows now on the Youngstown Studio Network, www.youngstownstudio.com. You can listen on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. So today's Thursday show. Thursday shows during football season kind of have a similar flow to them. The material will be different, but sort of will follow along the same flow. So I want to tell you real quick what's going to be on today's show before we get started. So first down today, we're going to talk about the Cleveland Browns. We're going to talk about the AFC North. We're going to talk about our Pick'em segment, which will feature all of the AFC North teams as well as another game. Second down, we usually talk about college football. Ohio State and YSU are both on byes this weekend. But we will tell you about some of the biggest games of the weekend. Third down. Third down will be Steve Leslie's top games from this week and last week's top performers. Steve is kind enough to join us from YSN. And if he can't join us via Zoom or in studio, he always shares his thoughts with me. And I like to share those out to you guys to highlight some of our local top athletes and top teams in our valley. And then our Thursday thoughts. We have a couple different Thursday thoughts segment, but we're going to feature an interview I did with Ashley Collins. Ashley Collins is the host of Drennan Live, co-host of Drennan Live, and she also works for Bally Sports Ohio. So look forward to that. So first, what we're going to do, we're going to start with the Cleveland Browns. All right, so the Cleveland Browns are going to take on the NFL's last remaining undefeated team, the Arizona Cardinals, this Sunday at 4 o'clock at First Energy Stadium in Cleveland. So the Cardinals 5-0, the Browns sitting at 3-2, and this is Arizona's first time they've been 5-0 first time Arizona Cardinals have been 5-0 ever, but this is the first time the franchise has been 5-0 since the 1974 season when they were actually the St. Louis Cardinals. So looking at the Cardinals' schedule so far this year, they have played, they opened up the season with a big win at Tennessee, defeating the Titans 38-13. Their only mutual game on the schedule so far has been the Vikings. They were in a shootout with the Vikings 34-33, and the Vikings actually should have won that game. They missed a last-second chip shot field goal that would have given them the win, but hey, a win is a win for Arizona. They'll take it any way they can get. They played at Jacksonville, and we're in a bit of a game with the Jaguars, but eventually pulled away for a 31-19 win. They took on one of their division foes, the LA Rams, probably their most important or impressive win of the season, 34-20. And then last week they took on a banged up 49er squad and showed that they can win a shootout and also showed they can kind of win a grind of a game. That game ended up 17-10. So this game is the extra 17th game on the schedule. The NFL decided to add that 17th game this year. So that matched up the AFC North versus the NFC West. And it took the number one team that finished in the division last year, the Steelers, versus the Seahawks, who finished first last year. The Ravens and the Rams were both the second place team. The Browns and the Cardinals were both the third place team, and the Bengals and the 49ers were both the fourth place teams last season in their respective divisions. You could argue the Browns might have got the toughest draw with the Cardinals. I still think the Ravens and the Rams, that will be a really, really good matchup. But the Browns and the Cardinals is a very interesting matchup here. The Steelers and the Seahawks play this weekend as well. That's going to be a tough game for both teams, but Russell Wilson is now out with a broken finger. which makes that a little bit easier for the Steelers. But, you know, we'll talk about the game in a little bit. And then the Bengals and 49ers, I believe, play a little bit later in the year. So let's talk a little bit about the Arizona Cardinals and what they kind of do best. So it all starts with quarterback play. It's, you know, true with every team, whether it's the Browns, whether it's the Cardinals, you know, any team, high school, college, pro, it, you know, the most important position on the field is that quarterback position. And the Cardinals have a good one. It's actually going to be Baker Mayfield's ex-teammate and the guy that followed him at Oklahoma. They won back-to-back Heisman Trophy winners. Baker won it first, and then the next year, Kyler Murray won it. Kyler Murray, you could probably say, is the early season favorite for MVP. He did get banged up a little bit in the last game against the 49ers, so that is something to look for, because last year he started the season incredibly hot, but then once he was banged up, really, really struggled down the stretch. But look at some of these numbers this year. His completion percentage is first in the NFL at 75.2%. His QBR is 113, which anything over 100 is great, which ranks him first in the NFL. Their O-line, though, is susceptible against the pass. They've allowed 10 sacks this year, which is sort of middle of the pack, 14th. But Kyler Murray has some nice weapons to work with. They're going to get that RPO game, and obviously he can scramble and get out of that pocket with his quick feet. But some of his weapons, DeAndre Hopkins, one of the best receivers in the NFL, AJ Green, who we remember well with the Cincinnati Bengals for all those years, has moved on and looks the part. He looks really, really good in Arizona. Rondale Moore is a rookie this year. Ohio State fans will remember him from Purdue. Very, very nice, quick receiver. Max Williams is another weapon on the outside. And then another guy the Browns and Browns fans will be familiar with is running back James Conner, who moved on from the Steelers after last season. All right, let's take a look at the Cardinals defense. So Chandler Jones in the first game of the season had 5 sacks in week 1 against the Tennessee Titans. Now, the Titans have not such a very good offensive line, but you know, you get 5 sacks, I don't care who you're playing against. 5 sacks in any NFL game is a very, very great total. He still is sitting at 5 sacks through the next 4 games. So 5 sacks total, but still nothing to, not worry about. However, Chandler Jones was placed in COVID protocol, him and 2 others. I do not know the other 2 names right now, but if the Cardinals get one more positive COVID test, they will then be subject to league-wide more scrutiny in what's going on with their locker room. So Chandler Jones, his status right now is unclear for Sunday, but right now he is in the COVID protocol based on the NFL procedures. And that would be a huge loss, as no other player on the Cardinals team has more than 2 sacks this season. The Cardinals defense, they pressure the quarterback at about a rate of 20.4%, which, you know, is in the, you know, bottom half of the league. They're sitting at about 18th, and they're allowing an 83.3 QBR and 6.2 yards per attempt. So basically their defensive line isn't great by the numbers, but their defensive backfield is much better by the numbers. So it's going to be interesting to see what Baker is able to do to pick apart this defense. There's some really, really good players on the back end of that defense. They're without a linebacker this week. We'll see about Chandler Jones and some other players, but I think this team is very, very susceptible against the run, and I think you have to run Nick Chubb. You have to run Kareem Hunt a lot in this game and take your opportunities in the play action when it's necessary. So a very typical Browns offensive game is what I think we can expect this weekend. Now let's look at the Browns side. So the Cleveland Browns, we're going to start with a pass rush. So, the Browns have been getting after the quarterback like crazy, especially since the second week of the year. when, you know, they got to Houston. And then obviously the Bears game was a huge one. So the Browns have 16 sacks this year, led by Myles Garrett, but they are overall third in the NFL in sacks with 16. They have 43 quarterback hits this year, which is number one in the NFL. Their pass defense, however, is allowing a 96.8 rate for opposing quarterbacks, which is 16th in the NFL. So again, the bottom, you know, whatever you want to say, bottom half, top half. But they're also allowing 223 yards a game. Now, that number is a bit skewed because of that Bears game. So, you know, I guess maybe if you throw out the top end with Herbert last week and you throw out the Fields game, you know, that maybe gives you a better number. But right now they're averaging 223 yards by the numbers. We're going to talk now about Cleveland's rushing attack. This is where I think they really are going to get after the Cardinals this weekend. So the Browns have the number one rushing offense in the NFL. Nick Chubb leads that attack with 105 yards per game. He's averaging nearly 6 yards a carry, 5.8 yards a carry with 4 touchdowns. Kareem Hunt has about 60 yards a game rushing, 59 to be exact. And he's averaging 5.4 yards a carry, and he has 5 touchdowns rushing on the season. Now, obviously, the rushing game, a big part of that is the offensive line and their status. So what is their status? Jedrick Wills has been back at practice this week. Hopefully, he is good to go. You know, but the backup tackles, you know, Blake Hance and the tackle from Cincinnati, that they drafted this year in the third round, looks pretty good as backup. So hopefully, if Wills isn't ready to go, they'll be able to step in and you know, hold the fort down until those guys are back. Joel Bitonio looks good to go. J.C. Tretter, he never practices, but he's always a gamer. He's good to go on game day. Wyatt Teller seems good to go, and Jack Conklin, we're unsure of his status. And that's a big one for the Browns. He's arguably their best lineman, right tackle. He is Pro Football Focus's one of their top ranked tackles in the league. So this is going to be a huge, huge unsure question mark for the Browns here. You know, is he going to play? Is he not? Yesterday he did not play or did not practice, but again, his status is unclear. So whether he plays or not, that's going to be a huge, interesting point to look for on the injury report going forward for Sunday. Here is what the injury report looked like as of yesterday. So Nick Chubb was out with a calf. Now, nothing major, nothing to, you know, be overly concerned with. Jadeveon Clowney, you know, had an elbow issue last week. His knee kind of flared up a little bit before that Chargers game, so they held him out to be safe. Jack Conklin, I just talked about. Myles Garrett, I believe, should be good to go. He has a little bit of lower leg issues right now. Kareem Hunt, again, just some rest, but a little bit of a banged up wrist and knee. Tack McKinley, so your top three defensive ends right now are a little bit banged up. Again, an ankle and a knee with him. David Njoku, with a knee lingering. Malcolm Smith, an abdomen injury, but we would assume he will be good to go. And J.C. Tretter, who I mentioned as well, like, he's always on the injury report, but he always shows up on game day, knock on wood, and he'll be ready to play. Denzel, Greedy, and J.O.K. all practiced yesterday, which is a great sign for them playing on Sunday. I have not heard anything about Greg Newsome yet, so keep checking the injury report for his status. Hopefully he is back and ready to go, because the Browns play 2 games in 4 days. They'll play on Sunday, and then they'll play the following Thursday. So if you can get through those 2 games with getting some of your major guys ready to go and they can get through healthy, you sort of get a mini bye in there with like a 10-day rest going into the Pittsburgh Steelers game. And then Jarvis Landry, again, still have not heard his status. He hopefully is gonna be good to go, but we're still unsure of his status right now on the injury report. All right, so my expectations for Sunday, what I expect the Browns to move the ball well, especially in the run game. I really think the Browns need to get Odell Beckham involved more now. If they're putting up 42 points a game and getting 500 plus yards of offense and Odell's only getting two or three targets, I can live with that. It's when the offense is struggling and then he's not getting the targets. That's when there'll be an issue for me. But hopefully we can sort of, have our cake and eat it too with this one. Hopefully the Browns offense can be hit full stride and Odell Beckham can be a part of that. So I'm looking for the Browns to run the ball a lot and hopefully get the ball downfield a little bit more and the passing game to sort of get in full stride here. So a couple bold predictions I have. I think Odell gets in the end zone for the first time this season. I think him and Baker click a little bit more. And I also think the Browns will pick off Kyler Murray and sack him two or more times on the defensive side of the ball. So my prediction is going to be the Browns hand the Cardinals their first loss of the season to move to 4-2. I have the Browns winning 33-24. So another high scoring game, not quite the shootout of last week, but I think the Browns get it done. I think the defense improves a little bit and gets after the Arizona Cardinals to win to get the Browns to 4-2. Let's talk now about our Pick'em for Charity Challenge. So here are our standings. Ben Figley leads it at 13-6. And you can see the rest of the standings. Isaac and myself are at 10-9. Ellie, Jeremy, and Luke have 9 wins. Jenny and Joe have 8 wins. And Lisa and Gracie have 7 wins. So we're all fairly close within each other. But Ben has the clear lead right now. But, you know, when we're doing 5 games a week, and, all of them, 1 week can make a big difference. You can have a big 5-game swing. We had a couple teams go winless last week that were, in first or second place. And it really, really makes a big difference. So our picks this week, I'm not going to go through all of them, but this was interesting looking through this. 70% of our picks are on one team. So the Browns, 7 of us are on the Browns, where Luke, Grace, and Ben are on the Cardinals. We have 7 of us on the Bengals, where myself, Luke, and Ellie like the Lions to cover a 3.5 point spread. We have 7 of us on the Seattle Seahawks with Luke, Jeremy, and Grace on the Steelers for the Steelers to cover. They are laying 4.5. We have 7 of us on the Cowboys. The Cowboys are 4.5 point favorites. And then we have myself, Jeremy, and Ellie that like New England as the as the home underdog getting 4.5 points. And then 7 of us like the LA Chargers over Baltimore. Lisa, Jenny, and Ellie all like the Ravens. They are laying 2.5 points at home. Okay, let's move on now to our high school football segment. This information always comes from Steve Leslie of YSN, and really appreciate his knowledge. But we have 8 undefeated teams through week 8 of the high school season. Garrettsville, Garfield, G-Men. We have the South Range Raiders, West Branch Warriors, and the Hubbard Eagles. I believe these are the same 4 teams that we've had the last 4 weeks that have remained undefeated. So good luck to those teams this weekend. Our week 8 best individual performances last week were Drew Shields of West Branch, Vinny Ballone of Lowville, Devin Carter of LeBray, Mike Crawford of Canfield, Devin Sherwood of Austintown-Fitch, Sean Dale Gardner of Springfield, and Dylan Dominguez of South Range. And then this week's best matchups for week 9 of the high school football season pits Austintown-Fitch at the Boardman Spartans. Both of those teams are 4-3. We have 8-0 Garrettsville-Garfield at the 5-2 Brookfield Warriors. We have 4-3 Warren Harding at Youngstown-Cheney, who is 3-4. We have a matchup of 2 teams at 4-4, the Struthers Wildcats and the Girard Indians. We have the 7-1 LeBray Vikings taking on the 5-3 Liberty Leopards. And then we have a battle of 6-2 teams, Canton South at the Salem Quakers. All right, switching now to Ohio State, YSU, and college football. Ohio State and the Ohio State Buckeyes and the YSU Penguins are both on bye this weekend. So they will both return to action next week. And I believe Ohio State plays Indiana and YSU plays at Indiana State next weekend. So both teams on the road in Indiana next weekend. Looking at the top matchups of week seven going in to this weekend. So on Friday night, we have Clemson at Syracuse, Cal at Oregon, San Diego State at San Jose State. Saturday, big matchup between Mark Stoops from right here in Youngstown taking on the Georgia Bulldogs, the number one team in the country. Kentucky is also undefeated for the first time this late in the season, 6-0 since 1950. Good matchup in the Big 12, Oklahoma State at Texas. Alabama looking to bounce back. They are at Mississippi State. We got UCF at Cincinnati, Purdue at Iowa, Michigan State and Indiana, BYU at Baylor, Auburn at Arkansas, Florida at LSU. I got Purdue and Iowa on there twice. TCU at Oklahoma, NC State at Boston College, and Arizona State at Utah. Again, YSU is on bye. Mount Union takes on Capital University. Kent State is at Western Michigan, and Akron is at Miami of Ohio. All right, real quick check in with the Major League Baseball playoffs. The Los Angeles Dodgers and the San Francisco Giants are going to play game five of an epic series. These series are only five games, which is kind of a shame because the Dodgers and the Giants had the best, really the best season in all of baseball. So one of these teams is going to go home, and it's going to go home early. So the Dodgers and the Giants will play tonight, which is Thursday night. At 9 o'clock, the winner will face the Atlanta Braves in the NLCS. And then tomorrow night, which is Friday night, we have the Boston Red Sox. We have the Boston Red Sox and the Houston Astros playing game one of the American League Championship Series. The winner of that series will then go on to the World Series. So we'll keep you locked in on those series. Unfortunately, my pick, I had Tampa. I did have my wild card picks right, but a lot of my other picks so far have gone down the drain. The White Sox are eliminated, and Tampa. So both my AL teams are out. I did have whoever came out of the Dodgers-Giants series winning the World Series. So we'll see if that still comes to fruition. Real quick, Thursday thought before we get into our interview with Ashley Collins. Thursday thought. So Ted Lasso, I got to give you a quick thought on what this show. This show is so good. It just wrapped up season two. So Ted is, main character is played by Jason Sudeikis. He is a small time American football coach. Ted Lasso is hired to coach a professional football club in England. So he goes from being a college football coach, a very small level college football coach, I think it was at Wichita State, to taking over a professional team over in England and trying to get them back to the Premier League. I do not know much about soccer, but this show kind of teaches you a little bit about it. You're just really going to like it. I think if you're a sports fan, if you're a comedy fan, this is a great, great show to watch. If you have Apple TV Plus, like I said, it just wrapped up season two. Season one and two have different vibes, but the show will definitely make you laugh. There's a lot of like real quick one-liners, quick-witted jokes. It will, could make you cry. It has some touching, some emotional, some sad moments in it. And it will surprise you. So it's a comedy. It's got a lot of up and downs, but you'll really love most of the characters. There's one in particular that has a little bit of a change of heart, but it is a great show. Highly recommend it. Okay, and then Let's get to our interview with Ashley Collins. Ashley Collins is of Bally Sports Ohio and Drennan Live. She is our guest on our final segment today. So had a little bit of a connection problem at the end of the interview, but it was a really informative, really good interview. And Ashley does a great job over there at Bally Sports. So take a listen. You'll learn a lot and hear Ashley's thoughts. So appreciate her for joining us and appreciate you guys for listening. So enjoy the interview and I will see you guys on Thursday. Have a great weekend. Hey guys, this is Justin Coffin for the 330 Sports Show. Joining us today, we have Ashley Collins of Bally Sports Ohio and Drennan Live. So Ashley, thanks for taking the time out and joining us tonight.
Of course. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
No problem. We appreciate you. So Ashley, I want to start with, before we get into some sports stuff, a little bit about your kind of broadcast and history. So how did you get into what you're doing now? Like, kind of, you don't have to give us each little detail, but like the bullet point version of how you got to where you're at now.
Sure. So I went to Kent State. I actually studied marketing. I originally thought I wanted to do something in sales or maybe event planning, something of that nature. I don't know. Most college kids don't really know actually what they want to do, right? So I thought this plan was great. I started working as an event coordinator at one of the local golf courses. And I've always been a huge sports fan. So I feel like I'm just always talking sports, came from a family of, you know, everyone who loves sports. While I was doing this, actually, Sportsim Ohio, which our company currently was back in the day, they had a membership, everyone that would come there and golf, got to know them well. And my current boss, Pat, actually had said, hey, we're looking for, you know, someone new. We have a new role that we want to fill here. And at the time, it was all bets are off with Bruce Drennan as, you know, in show updates is what they wanted to kind of bring to the show. So he said, hey, I really like working with, you know, people who are knowledgeable in sports and maybe who haven't been in TV before because, you know, they like to kind of mold and shape and teach them. And yeah. I kept saying to him every time I would see him, I'm like, no, I got my degree in marketing. I'm not, what are you talking about? This is so silly, right? And we had talked and finally he's like, why don't you just come in and see? You know, we're gonna let's chat, let's go over some things. And literally the rest is history. I went in and learned and really tried to perfect my craft with, you know, starting from the bottom up. I got an awesome break, obviously, to be on air, but it took a lot of work before, obviously, learning the ropes and everything. But that's how it all started, which is a really, really crazy story. But I started just on camera stuff, but from there quickly wanted to learn, and they wanted me to learn the editing aspect behind the scenes, everything that, you know, went into all of it. So really getting a good grasp of everything that makes it happen, which is insane because I don't think a lot of people realize what goes into it. So that's where I got the start, and I've been there ever since. Since 2008, I think, is when I started on the show. So my role just kind of has grown throughout the years, and they have been the most amazing people in the world to me. So I appreciate everything from them. But that's my story of how I got into this business.
Yeah, no, that's great. It's cool to hear how, you know, people get into the business. So, you know, obviously people that watch your show with Bruce, we see you on air, but you had mentioned a lot goes on behind the scenes. So tell us a little bit about the behind the scenes aspect that you do.
Yeah. So after I started the on-air stuff, I had learned, because I was doing little updates throughout the show, which entailed, you know, highlights and sound bites and listening to press conferences and going out and, you know, seeing all that stuff. So I had learned to, you know, Avid is the computer that that they use and the program that they did at the time, learning how to cut up the sound bites I wanted, listening to things, kind of having an ear for what was going on, right? And wanting to put that into story form. That would go and why this is important. What's coach saying? What are the players saying? From there, it grew to the production aspect of being a producer. So I did a little bit of our shows that were live, helping out, learning the ropes with that. And then I started actually producing Jimmy Hanlon's golf shows that we travel, which is awesome because we take off a couple months for Adrenaline Live in January and February. And that's really big travel time for their golf shows because it's freezing here. We go to, you know, the Californias, the Texas, the Floridas, and got a really great opportunity with him to travel with them for those couple months and producing and writing the scripts and, you know, everything that kind of entails and making sure the show stays on how that format needs to be with timing wise and things like that. So just from there, it's just kind of, I could be on air, but know in my head too, like, okay, I know this is coming next. I know this is what my soundbite that I would like to use, or, hey, I'll go to our producer now and say, why don't we do this? Or what about this kind of guest? So it really has helped with on air, knowing all that behind the scenes and having a hand in some of that. So it's really, really been beneficial.
That sounds great. Yeah. And, you know, we all love Cleveland, but if you can get to California or Texas or Florida, like you said, in the middle of winter, that's not a bad gig there either.
Yeah.
So last week, you did an interview with, I always still want to say San Diego, but Los Angeles Chargers coach Brandon Staley, who you are related to. I believe you guys are cousins. Is that correct?
Yep. Yeah, we're so, second cousins. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So you did a great job with that interview.
Thanks.
And he, unfortunately for us Browns fans, kind of out Stefanski last week. But talk to us a little bit. I've heard, you know, with him, obviously, and some other, you might have some other relatives in the sports world. Is that correct?
My cousin is Ricky Stanzi. So he, local kid. Yeah. So he's my first cousin. Brandon's my second cousin. So it's just funny. Yeah. Big sports family, obviously. But I have to say it was pretty awesome with Brandon. Obviously NFL coach, right? He has been quickly rose up the ranks. And now obviously we saw what he did on Sunday. He's an awesome coach and a football mind. And he's just so extremely intelligent when it comes to that. But first and foremost, he's an amazing guy because I had texted him knowing, you know, they're going to play the Browns. I know you guys have a Monday night game. They just had played the Raiders. And I said, hey, like, I understand if you can't, I'm sure you have a lot going on. Right. He immediately said, family first, of course. Here, set it up though with, you know, their PR guy, and the PR guy called me and was very, very nice and said, I just got off the phone with Brandon. He said this is something that was important to him and he really wanted to do because you're family. He goes, we never do interviews with the opposing media before a game leading up to this. Like, they'll do conference calls, let's say, with the entire media if that's what they decide to do. But he's like, you know, obviously with his roots here, he grew up a Browns fan. So it's just surreal to be able to talk to him. It was so fun because all of our family was watching. They loved it. And it was really, really great. So he was so gracious to do it. He's a great guy, obviously. And what he's been doing with the Chargers has been pretty awesome. So it was really fun and really was one of the highlights of my career because, you know, you get to have family then and talk football and, you know, it just kind of came full circle. So it was awesome.
Yeah. And, you know, you do a great job with your interviews, whether family or not. That was a really, really cool interview to hear, especially, you know, from him leading up to the game. So, Ashley, let's talk, you know, obviously you're on air a lot and you guys are live. So that adds a whole other element to broadcast TV. You guys obviously do a lot of phone calls and interaction with your viewers. So do you have any good like on-air stories? I think everybody's kind of seen some of the memes out there of Bruce when he loses it on a caller. I think at the beginning of the Indian season, There was a good one with him losing it. But do you have any good on-air stories?
Just basically that. Literally, it's a you never know what you will get from Bruce Drennan. And it's every day. And that's why it's so much fun. Because we don't rehearse anything. We have a pre-show meeting. Our producer will give us, this is the rundown of the day. This is what we're going to talk about. Bruce will go and we'll do our thing and we'll talk to the facts and this is the stats and this is what happened. And then when he wants to go, he just goes. It is awesome. It's so much fun because you're just kind of like, what's coming next? I don't know. You guys see the same thing I see when it comes through. Sometimes I'll be able to tell if he's maybe, oh, I can tell he's getting a little agitated. So I know that it may be coming. But when he blows up on callers, it's the best because I'll usually have left set at when he's taking the calls and I'll go into a master control room and I'll be either have the TV on in my office listening or in there listening as it's coming through. And I'm just like, I can tell in his face. It's going to happen. And then it does. And it's hilarious. And I always like texting his wife. I'm like, oh, look what's going on. So it's just great. He's so much fun because you don't know what's going to happen, right? But he's just known for that. And he'll go a little bit when it's fine. And they'll let everybody have their peace and talk. Mm-hmm. But then sometimes you never know. And he just, you know. So it is. It's just one of those things like you really have no idea what's going to come next. And that's live TV, right? We don't get to fix it if something happens. Or sometimes he'll call me his wife's name on air, which is hilarious. And I'm just like, okay. And then I'm like crying, laughing about it. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I have to get to the next story here. Right. But he's just, and you know what, in real life, like normal, if you sat here right now with him, he's the exact same that he is on TV, or if he blows up at a caller, or if he gets mad at me and he wants to yell. So I just think he's exactly what you see on television, and that's why it makes him so great.
That is good. Yeah, the genuine article. And I think they did a good job pairing you guys up because you seem to be that more calming, you know, very calming influence.
I have to.
So, yeah.
I have no choice. I have to. Could you imagine if we were both like that? I don't think anyone would get a word in. So we're good.
That's great. So, you know, tell us some of, you know, obviously the on-air stuff, the interview stuff, but tell us some of the other like favorite aspects of your job. You know, obviously traveling, it sounds like, is a nice little perk that you might have here and there. But tell us some of the favorite aspects.
So, yes, traveling for sure. That's just such a smaller part though, but I'll tell you what, it's just, and it's been a little different because of COVID. So hopefully we're getting back to a little normalcy here, but the favorite part of my job is going out and covering, you know, whether it be a practice or a press conference, just, you know, I love being in studio, but I love also going out before and getting stuff to bring back to the studio, to be on site when things are happening, to kind of get the pulse of what's been going on, whether that even be talking to other media members that are there at the same time as me, or, you know, getting this kind of soundbite, or if I'm lucky too, because I get to do fun features as well. So I get to go to Progressive Field and do the Top Golf event that they had going on. And they'll call and say, hey, we have this, or a charity event. That's really awesome to go and see players, coaches, the different side of them that you don't get to see every day when they're on the field or at the ballpark or whatever it may be. It's really, really fun. I love going to events like that and seeing that side of them. And I think that that's one of my favorite parts. So to cover all that and hoping that this world will get back to, you know, that's completely normal once again. And, you know, everyone can do all that. But I think I would have to say that that's my favorite.
Okay. All right. Very cool. So, so you growing up, you said you're from a big sports family. You know, you obviously have some, Ricky Stanzi was at Iowa.
Okay. He went to Lake Catholic and then Iowa. And then, he was drafted by the Chiefs and he was with 4 or 5 NFL teams. So yeah, I'm super close with him. He lives right down the street from me. So, we're together all the time and talking football and it's great.
That's awesome. So being from a big sports family and obviously in the sports, you know, news cycle day to day, growing up, who were some of your favorite athletes or coaches or role models, I guess, that you looked up to?
So, I loved Mark Price. I loved Kenny Lofton, and then I met him at the golf course that I worked at, really met him, years and years later, obviously. And I was like, oh my God, I had like the biggest fan moment of my life. And Mark Price always, and it was funny, I was just driving home and there's like, I don't know if you know the song, I don't even know who sings it. It's Oh What a Night. And I remember driving to school after he had like a monster game and that song was on and they played it after they talked about his game. And so that song reminds me of him every time I hear it. And I just heard it on the way home. So that's why I tell you this. But I loved, loved, loved him. And so those kind of like stick out in my mind for sure. And it's funny because I'm a huge football fan and football family, but I'm not really like remembering, like, I think I actually hated the Browns growing up because I was made to wear all of the Brown stuff every Sunday when I was like small and had no idea. Sure. And I'm like, why are we doing this every single Sunday, guys? Like, can we just do something else?
Yeah.
Like my parents would spray paint our shoes orange. And I was like, well, we're ruining a perfectly good pair of shoes, but okay, whatever you guys say. So, but yeah, those two really stick out in my mind. And it's funny because also I was a huge wrestling fan, WWF growing up, my whole family. Like we would go with my cousins, Ricky and his brothers and me and my sister to the wrestling events when they would come to Cleveland. And Jerry Lawler actually is a big fan of our show and messages me sometimes about it. And oh, he watches every day, he says. And I was like, that was the coolest thing. I'm dead. That was the coolest thing in my life. Yeah. He messaged me. I saw him at a game. It's just a lot, you know, a lot of Cleveland fans that you just kind of think of that. And so that's what comes to mind when I think of that.
That's really cool. Yeah. And now you being, you know, for what you said since 2008 or.
Yeah.
So you're, you know, your face has been on TV and, you know, everywhere. So you get probably a lot of people just coming up and saying hi or want to talk sports or whatever with you.
Yes, and they always want to know if Bruce is really like that in real life. And I say, yeah, yes, yeah. You should come visit because he's like that. But yes, it's great. I love it. Love it. Love it. Love it. It's just funny. Everyone always is like, oh, so what do you think about the Browns? Yeah, well, I'll sit there and chat all day long if you want. It's funny. Awesome. I'll go out with my girlfriends who could care less about sports and literally have no clue about sports. And so we'll sit there, we'll be out somewhere and someone will come up and they're like, gosh, like, stop. Like, can we just get back to our conversation, you know, about something else? And I'm like, guys, come on. I'd much rather talk sports with the fans over here than whatever we have going on. So it is just, it's really cool. It's really humbling. Fans are the best. And that's how, you know, it makes shows go, especially like a live call-in show. And Bruce's fans are the absolute best. He has such a big following. So it just, you know, carries over. And it's just a really fun aspect of it to be able to, like, you know, have someone tell you, oh, hey, great interview today. Oh, hey, great job. Oh, I watched this, loved it. Or, hey, what about this? So I love that aspect.
Yeah, that's really cool when you can get like that instant feedback, even in person, face to face. So let me ask you one more question, I guess, about your job. So if you, and I guess this is a hypothetical. So if you could get, and obviously you interviewed your cousin, you said, which was a huge huge interview for you. But if you could have one interview for anybody in the sports world, we'll say either living or dead, or past or present, whatever you want to say, who would that one interview be? Kind of putting you on the spot here.
I know you are. God, I haven't thought about this because I also interviewed Jim Brown. That was pretty hard to now even think. I'm like, what do you think? Jim Brown, sure. I interviewed him at the Cavs championship parade and it was awesome. That, totally awesome. So, man, I don't even know because I'm not even thinking of like people not alive right now, I guess. it's difficult because, I mean, I'm going to be like a fangirl here. I'm a really big fan of Tom Brady and just in life in general. So it would be really cool for that. But this is a good question and I'm probably going to sit here and have to think about it. And then I'm going to be like messaging you like, oh, no, wait, I thought I have my answer here.
That's fine. We can share that out later.
There's so many good people, but we have so many good people here in Cleveland too. Like when you think of like a Terry Francona, like great, right? Like you get to talk to a great mind about the game of baseball and what he does. And I've talked to Terry Francona. Mike Hargrove is another one that I think is absolutely amazing and have a good relationship with him. So it's funny because I've talked to a lot of people that I would have looked up to and think, hey, this would be a cool sit down. And so, yeah, that's kind of where I'm at. Sorry for the lame answer, but that's what it is.
I think, you know, sometimes when I ask these questions, I think about that, like, what would I say too? And I think I would probably answer very similar to yours. I don't know, because there's so many awesome people that you would want to just have that conversation with. So, okay, let's get into just a couple of the Cleveland sports notes. So obviously the Browns, the 2021 season, a lot of high expectations. We're 3-2 right now, could easily be 5-0 or 4-1. But what are your sort of just global thoughts on the 2021 Cleveland Browns?
So this is it. So obviously high expectations from everyone, I think, including the team. So they could say whatever, but it is. Stefanski has done a phenomenal job with what he's done. And he's just insane. And from what we've had before to what we have now, I still think there's question marks a little bit. You look at your record, it is what it is, right? You can't say, okay, what if? I think winning the big games is what the Browns need to figure out how to do, because you have a shootout with the Chargers. You have to now play the undefeated Arizona Cardinals. You know, you gotta be able to figure those things out. I don't really know what is going on with Odell and Baker. I think that it's question marks here. I know we're going to get Jarvis Landry back. The defense is a little bit of a roller coaster, in my opinion. There's so much talent in each of these rooms that it's just like, hey, why are they not? But you go up against a really good Chargers team. You're going to go up a really good Kyler Murray and the Arizona Cardinals. It doesn't get easy. And I think our division is so tough. Mm-hmm. I mean, who would have thought that when you look at the Bengals, right? What are they going to do? And then if the Steelers figure it out and they continue to, okay, then you have them too. And then what Lamar Jackson just did on Monday Night Football, then you sit back and say, man, like, you can look at these series with your division, what could happen?
Right.
And I don't think it's to say that you're a bad team if you're losing any of these games, because these other teams are so good as well.
No doubt.
So I think I have this in my mind. Like, I'm saying I wanted to say 11 wins when the season started. And I don't know. Right now I'm kind of at 9 or 10. And they're not playing bad, obviously, when they're losing. So I think that that's a good thing, but a win's a win, right? That's what you have to do in this league. And this is what counts. So I think they're in a good place. I don't think there should be any panic. I don't think, even if they lose on Sunday, which, hoping home field advantage, let's help. Mm-hmm. The Cardinals are going to have to lose. Perfect time. Why don't you lose Sunday to the Browns? But I don't think it's time for any panic or anything. I just think that there's still this little bit of, like, he's still a new coach. There's still, like, players gelling together. This defense is not played together. We're getting on the same page. We're trying to consistently stay on the same page. So I think it'll figure itself out. I think they're a very good team, and I think they're showing people that they're a very good team. Now it's time to just close it out, to finish it, to, like, nail in the coffin when it gets down to that. And that's what really good teams find ways to do, right? At the end, when it counts most, no matter what, who cares what the ref said or what the refs mm-hmm. did, this is what we have to do. And we got to trust in the process of what they're doing right now and hope that it'll take us to the playoffs again. Because, man, that was pretty fun last year after they're able to do something like that. So if it is consistent for this city, it's so exciting, I think, to everyone here in Cleveland.
Great answer. I mean, I think you hit all the bullet points on the way down. You got Odell, you got Stefanski.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, nice job. So, all right, let's just, you know, we'll just keep this one short, but your thoughts on the Cavs, because since they have, you know, moved on from LeBron, or LeBron has moved on from us, whatever way you want to say it, we've struggled. You know, we went to those four finals in a row, which was great. It was an awesome run, but I think they've won 60 games in the last 3 years combined, something like that. So what are your overall thoughts on this team? They have talent, it seems, but can they put it together on the floor?
Right. And I think the thing is with the Cavs is you're going to have to keep building through the draft. So unfortunately for fans watching, that means mm-hmm. not that great. I think the over-under was 26.5 or something like that for the season. It's hard to watch a team that's not that great, but it also in that process has to know in your back of your mind, as hard as it is for fans to realize, that playing time helps people get better. Young talent has to have time to become, you know, mature talent. I think Bickerstaff's doing and has done a really good job with the young guys and trying to navigate through this with some of the veterans and bringing in the young kids. And I think it takes time. I don't think we should expect greatness right now from this Cavs team. Right. I think we need to be realistic about expectations, but know that those expectations are going to lead to hopefully something good, because that means you can build. When a player like LeBron James leaves your team, it's going to take time. It's going to take a lot of effort and drafting and analytics and figuring it out and what works best. So there's a lot of young guys that have a lot of talent. And I think that's just how we have to kind of look, that yeah. You'll take those little bright spots, right, and see what's working well, maybe what's not working so well, and use it moving forward.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. I like it. All right. And now we're kind of getting into the heart of the Major League Baseball playoffs right now. Obviously, no Indians in it for the first time in a while. Unfortunately, the Cleveland Indians will never make the playoffs again. So first question I have is, overall thoughts on the name change?
Well, my overall thoughts are is that I will eventually get used to it. So because I have to, I knew it was coming, and I think we all did. So it's done. It's not coming back. This is the decision that they made, and the product on the field, if it's good, it doesn't matter. I don't care what their name is, right? It'll take time. It's different. People don't like change. I think people still call it Jacobs Field, and this is what's going on. Don't worry. It will be okay. We will get there. They had to do this, right? This is just is what it is. I don't know. It's just strange. Like, it's funny. Like, I have to keep practicing it. We don't say it yet. Like, we do, but we're not in season right now because they didn't make, the postseason. So when it comes next year, I'm going to sit there like for January, February, just get ready before spring training and say, Guardians. But I don't know. I think a lot of fans are upset because of the history, and you think of how long this team has been the Cleveland Indians, and it's a hard change, but I like it. We'll get used to it. It'll be okay. And I'm hoping that the product will just make everything better. It's so great and the best experience ever, I think, at Progressive Field. It's so much fun. They do such a great job there. I love going to games. I love everything that happens there. I think it's an amazing ballpark. I have family that comes into town and they absolutely love it there. I think it'll be good. So let's go to the playoffs, and then the Guardians are in the playoffs, so we'll be good with that, right?
Okay, yeah, it sounds great to me. Sounds great to me. All right, let me end on this question with you. So, and this is a non-sports question, but a Cleveland question. So, excluding going to a game or any kind of sporting event, what is your favorite thing about the city, or favorite things about the city of Cleveland, or like things to do or places to go, things like that?
So I live on the east side, in the suburbs, but I work downtown. I find that, and I lived on the west, I grew up on the east side, I moved to the west side, I moved back to the east side, I work downtown, so covering all of my bases here. I will tell you what, and especially during COVID, and this is probably why I'm saying this, the metro parks are my most favorite thing about, and you can go everywhere. I have maybe seen like all of them during COVID, and it's just amazing. The parks and the different, waterfronts. It's so much fun to me to go do that and explore. And it's great to explore the city too. I'm just so used to it being downtown and walking wherever. I mean, the restaurants I think are absolutely amazing. I love going west side, east side, everywhere. I know most people won't like cross that downtown line if you live on the east side or the west side to go one or the other, but I was lucky enough to see both sides of the city and downtown. And in addition to the restaurants and doing things like that, I think that, our metro parks and golf courses too. I mean, I like to golf a little bit, but to go along with that whole metro parks feel, I think the golf courses are absolutely amazing in this part, of the city, in the area. So There's so much fun stuff to do outside and it's just so pretty. And the weather we've been having right now too is just right. Making me feel that even more going to explore a little bit. And I think, if you haven't been out to all those places, there's so much to do. So I highly recommend it.
Very good. Very good. Well, Ashley, thank you for giving us a look kind of behind the scenes of what you do and, talking to you. And we appreciate you. So thank you for joining us today. And we'll talk hopefully soon.
Thank you for listening to this show on Youngstown Studio. If you like our programming, we invite you to subscribe to our YouTube channel, follow our Facebook page, or subscribe to your favorite podcast platform like iTunes or Spotify. This is original Youngstown content, and we would appreciate you sharing the videos and the word about us. Thank you.